be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we're nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which we'll finish tomorrow, on which we've been focusing for a couple of weeks. And Jesus summarizes what he's been saying by putting us on guard. He says, "Beware of false prophets." False prophets wear a sheep's mantle just like the true prophets do. They look like them on the outside, but underneath they're totally different. Rather than trying to pass on God to others, to pass on his word, to pass on his will, they're trying to draw people to themselves rather than to God. They're trying to take rather than give. It's an important thing for us to recall, because there are many false prophets. The false prophets in Jesus' age were lying prophets. That's what the Greek word means. Rather than passing on the truth, they were passing on, either intentionally or unintentionally, falsity. Right before this gospel, which would have been yesterday's gospel if we didn't have the feast of the birth of St. John the Baptist, Jesus describes the path to heaven and the path to hell. He says, "The road that leads to life is narrow, and few find it. The road that leads to perdition is broad, and there are many on it." And then he goes right here about false prophets. What will false prophets do? False prophets will often pretend that the road to life is easy and the road to hell is hard. He'll basically just say, "Keep doing exactly what you're doing. Jesus says that you need to lose your life in order to save it, but hey, don't worry about losing your life. Jesus says you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross every day and follow him. Don't deny yourself, affirm yourself. Don't pick up your cross. Pick up your favorite gin and tonic or whatever you want to drink. Instead of follow me, just keep going your own way. You're fine. God doesn't really want you to repent and believe. God doesn't really want you to change." False prophets are teaching a different path, a path that brings them popularity rather than brings the people to the Lord. But there are other types of false prophets too. Jesus clearly would have been referring to the scribes and the Pharisees, or many of them, who are leading the people astray. What do we see in the scribes and the Pharisees? They preach a gospel of externalism. That as long as they're not murdering people on the outside, they can still hate them on the inside. That as long as they're not committing adultery in the flesh, they can commit adultery in the heart. As long as they're not beating their parents, they can stiff their parents and say, "All my money's for God, I'm not going to care for my parents when they're old." She's been describing that throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Who like to babble in front of everybody else so that they'll seem to be praying. Who like to make a lot of noise when they give alms so that everybody would think that they're generous. Who always whiten their faces when they're fasting so that everybody will say, "Wow." That's not what Jesus wants. He wants that conversion of the inside, not just the outside. A lot of the times the false prophets can preach a message of ritual observance to the law rather than internal observance of the law. They can preach a list of prohibitions rather than the mercy of God and how each of the commandments is an expression of the law of love. There are many types of false prophets. And Jesus tells us that we're supposed to be aware of them, which means we have to know the law, we have to know God well enough that we're able to distinguish between false and true prophets. Because a lot of the times, as Jesus says, they look exactly the same. They might sound at first exactly the same, but they're absolutely not the same. So it's a great summons for us to really pray, to discern together with the Lord, and to get to know our faith so that we'll be able to make this discrimination. As we continue to pray through this Fortnight for Freedom, we have to recall that in our country there are many false prophets. A lot of them are our politicians. Many of them are our celebrities. They have talk shows on television or radio programs. Some of them are in fact clergy too. You know, we can think of the clerical false prophets who preach, for example, this prosperity gospel. One of the most famous men on television, Joel Osteen, this is what he does. Joel Osteen's very easy to listen to, but notice he really never talks about the cross. Joel Osteen is the big face of what we call a prosperity gospel. That if you're doing well, God's going to bless you financially. And please make sure you share some of that generosity back with me. But if you're suffering, if you're poor, all the rest of it, then that's when you're doing something displeasing to God. If you really listen to Him beyond the sugar, that's what you get. It's a false gospel. Even though it's popular, it's false. We have many others who preach what I call a false Irenicism. Irene in Greek means the word for peace. A false Irenicism means that everything's fine. So for example, you'll go to certain places, Protestant churches, Catholic churches, and over the course of 10 years, you'll never hear that there's a moral problem at all. Nobody ever needs confession. Why would we need confession? We're all saints, not even under construction. We're already the done deal. We don't have any bad thoughts. We don't have any bad words. We don't have any bad deeds. There's not one abortion happening in the country. And if there were, it wouldn't really be a bad thing. It's not an attack to undermine marriage. There's no attack on religious freedom. Everything's fine. Let's just continue to sort of say that everything is at peace. There's not even really a devil going after you. There's no big need to get worked up about anything because everything's copacetic. False prophets. We need to ponder that, because one of the reasons why we have a need for a Fortnight for Freedom is because we haven't been on guard for the consistent series of attacks that have now gotten to the critical stage, because we weren't being vigilant before. But the big lesson of today's gospel is that by our baptism and our confirmation, every single one of us is called to be a prophet. We're not called to just look at others and discriminate whether they're a true or false prophet. We're called to look into the mirror and examine ourselves. Are we someone who really announces Jesus in his saving gospel, including the cross? Or are we somebody who doesn't announce anything at all? Or announces a false version of Christianity, in which, because we don't know the faith, we're passing on falsehood, because we haven't worked hard to learn the faith, or because we don't really believe a part of the gospel is good news, we pass on our own opinions as if they're Jesus' truth. That can happen quite a bit. Jesus wants us all to become true prophets, and he gives us essentially two criteria today. It's important for us to grasp, but how do we become a true prophet? Jesus says twice, by their fruits you will know them. A good prophet always produces good fruit. And what are those good fruits? Those fruits are real acts of love for God and love for neighbor. Those are Christ-like behaviors. Those are good fruits. And how do we bear those good fruits? Jesus tells us very clearly in the first Mass that we do it by remaining attached to Him. The Gospel verse today comes from Jesus' words about the vine and the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear fruit. And apart from me, you can bear nothing. The first step in becoming a true prophet who bears good fruit in season and out of season is someone who remains in Christ, remains in His Word, remains in a living holy communion with Him, remains in His will, remains in His salvific plans for others. Are we abiding in the Lord that way? That's not just a passive action. That as long as I don't do anything to chop off that communion, I'm fine. No. It's the most deliberate thing that we've got to choose in our life. How do I abide in the Lord? Do I abide in the Lord more than I abide on the internet or watching television or reading the newspaper? Do I abide in the Lord rather than in the advice of Dr. Phil or someone else? Am I really actively choosing to stay with the Lord, or am I going my own way? That's the first step. The second is implied here. We've got to persevere in that abiding so that we will bear much fruit. A lot of the times we can bear fruit for a season, but then we cut ourselves off from the Lord, and then instead of bearing the good fruit we once did, we bear no fruit or we begin to bear bad fruit. This is the story of the Jews. 2 days ago, we had the story of the Assyrian invasion of the kingdom of Israel in the north of the Holy Land and the kingdom of Samaria, and they were all brought away. There was one tribe left, we were told, the tribe of Judah, in and around Jerusalem. For 140 years, they sought to be faithful. Today's reading, we see what happened with the high priest Hilkiah and the scribe Shaphan. They rediscover all the books of the law. They rediscover the vessels. They want to get true worship back. They want to be true prophets once again. And so they make the vessels for the worship of the Lord in the temple, melting down all the other gold and giving them to the great goldsmiths. They read the entire law. They announce it to everybody. Everybody says, "We're going to live this covenant. Stand as participants in the covenant." And for a time they did. But as we're going to hear tomorrow, in 597, a king comes to the throne, perverts the entire people, everybody follows him away from the Lord, and then Nebuchadnezzar comes and brings them all into slavery in Babylon. They had persevered for a time, but then just quit. And that's when calamity came. Rather than having true prophets among all the people, false prophets came on up. And they didn't obey the true prophets that God had sent. Likewise for us, we too need to persevere. It's not that we learn the faith once. Are we really learning it now? It's not that we could say before the Lord, "Sometime in my life I was announcing your gospel." Are we planning to announce it today and tomorrow? To persevere in this fruit. And how do we do that? Today, as I mentioned, we're celebrating the Votive Mass of St. Jose Maria, whose feast day is tomorrow. He died 39 days ago tomorrow. St. Jose Maria's whole mission, given to him by the Lord, was to help lay people in the ordinary circumstances of their life become true saints. That in order to become holy, you didn't have to run away and join the convent or the seminary. You didn't have to become a hermit. You could become a real saint as a husband and wife. You could become a real saint as a plumber or as a taxi driver or as a nurse or in any other honest profession. These were almost heretical words when he started to preach them. Now, after the Second Vatican Council, everybody's at least heard the universal call to holiness. But when he started announcing it in the late 1920s, people were thinking, "Hey, that hasn't really been adequately preached before." But he wanted to have people united to Christ the vine and bearing really good fruit. As we prayed in the opening prayer, he had the mission to help people in holiness, which is being attached to the vine, and apostolate, which is bearing fruit, bearing souls, bringing people to the Lord. And the way that that needed to be done, he said, was through a plan of life. It's really elementary, but most of us don't live it. He said we have to have a spiritual regime. We have to have a series of practices that help us to abide in the Lord. What are the practices he would ask every person who came to him? To start off the day with a morning offering. That the first act of your day, as soon as that alarm clock gets out, you don't snooze it, but you get out of bed right then. That you just say a prayer, consecrating the entire day to God and asking him for the help he knows you're going to need that day to live it in union with him. Then to pray for a half hour sometime in the morning. To just fill your thoughts at the beginning of the day with God's. To try to come to daily Mass if you could. But if you couldn't, at least make a spiritual communion. Unite yourself to the most important thing that was happening that day. To pray the Angelus at noon, remembering the most important event that ever occurred, when Christ took on our flesh, because Christ wants to live in our flesh throughout the day. To pray again for another half hour in the afternoon, thanking God for all the graces, uniting your work to Him over the course of that day. Making a really good examination of conscience each night, examining how you've kept that communion with the Lord. Finishing with three verbs. Thank you, Lord, for all your graces, for being with me throughout the day. Sorry for the times where I cut myself off from you. Help me more tomorrow. Those are the practices of every day, praying the rosary as well. Then during the week, coming to confession every single week, so that if you happen to cut yourself off by sin, you won't be cut off for long, so that you can really bear good fruit. Receiving some type of formation, doing some spiritual reading, especially the reading of the gospel. Once a year to make a retreat, once a month to make a day of recollection. All of these practices specifically geared to help people in their ordinary life unite themselves to the Lord. But most importantly, when we're uniting ourselves to the Lord by a plan of life like that, then it overflows into our work. It overflows into our familial life. It overflows into every part of our being. And we start to recognize that we're bearing fruit even in those unlikely places. Today we come forward. The Lord tells us to beware of false prophets. Not just among others, but among ourselves. He talks to us about the criterion of bearing good fruit by becoming good trees, grafted onto Christ the vine. St. Jose Maria today helps us to do that in all the ordinary activities of our life, not just when we come to church, but in all the nitty-gritty of the day. Let's ask God through His intercession to help us to become truly holy and to help us to bear fruit by bringing our friends to God, by bringing our family members to God, by bringing God to them, so that they might join us, God willing, on that narrow way that leads to life. Praise be Jesus Christ.